The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." She was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, he will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And with that, the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today our O Antiphon is O Clavis David, O Key of David and Scepter of the House of Israel, come to lead those who are bound in the house of a prison or imprisoned, sitting in darkness, out. And that frames how we're supposed to process these readings in this day. We were imprisoned. Jesus came not just to receive the keys of the house of David as the heir of David, but to become that key. In the book of Isaiah, we'll see how in chapter 22 there was a master of the sacred palace who was stripped of the keys and was given to Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, was instructed that the doors you open will be open, the doors you close will be closed. Those were the keys that were passed down from king to king in the Judaic kingdom. Eventually Jesus came, and in the book of Revelation we see in his words to the church in Philadelphia that "I am the key of David. I have within me the scepter of the house of Israel. What I open remains open, what I close remains closed." Jesus became that key which he had inherited. So both, you've got the humanity received from David, you've got the divinity he is. And in order to understand what's happening at Christmas, we have to recognize that Jesus is that key. He's coming to open a prison cell so that we can be led out from darkness to walk as children of the light, following that light of the world who came, so that those who are walking in darkness, as we'll hear Christmas night, might have this light. But there's one other piece to the puzzle. The Lord will open up that prison cell. That's what he did by coming into our world, by living, by suffering for us, by dying, by rising from the dead. We've got to follow him out of that prison cell. We've got to recognize that we're seated in darkness. And we've got to get up from where we are and follow him where he wants to lead. And in today's readings, we see a gargantuan contrast between someone, even though the prison cell is totally open, remains exactly where he is, and another who had already been freed from that darkness through our Immaculate Conception, who shows us how we're supposed to behave in response to that Clavis David. So the first is King Ahaz. you're listening carefully, on December 17th, the first day of the second phase of Advent, where we were describing Jesus' genealogy all the way from Abraham through Joseph to Jesus, you heard the name King Ahaz. Ahaz is one of those ancestors of Jesus. His son Hezekiah was one of the great kings, but Ahaz wasn't. Ahaz was being sieged by the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Syria. Didn't know what he should do. Isaiah went to him and said, "Don't join them. Don't worry. God will free you." But he wanted to use political games. He wanted to use human logic. So he entered into alliance with the king of Assyria, who came and destroyed those two other kingdoms, but then subjugated the kingdom of Israel. Even though God had sent the prophet Isaiah to help guide him, to lead him out of that predicament, to open up what he thought was his national incarceration, he didn't want to follow Isaiah. So Isaiah hits it a second time. "Ask the Lord for a sign. Let it be as deep as the netherworld or as high as the sky." His ancestor King Solomon, when he was asked that, begged for the grace of an understanding heart to judge rightly, to lead people along the way of prudence. Ahaz could have asked for that. He would have gotten it. He would have been able to follow the Lord. No. Ahaz was too imprisoned in what he himself wanted to do. He claimed that he didn't want to test God. But in fact, he didn't want to test God, because when God answered the test, he still didn't want to do what God wanted to do. "No, I won't ask for a sign. I won't tempt the Lord." That's precisely what he was doing. It's precisely tempting the Lord. But we see how great a darkness there was. So Isaiah pronounced a prophecy. "Listen, O house of David. Is it not enough for you to weary men? Must you also weary God?" Think about how wearisome that must be for God. God comes down, he blows open the doors of the prison, and all we need to do is walk out. How wearisome that should be for God, that we'll still remain shackled. That rather than turn toward the light and start at least heading in that direction, we turn our back. "Therefore the Lord will give you this sign. The virgin will conceive and bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel." It would take 700 years for that sign to be fulfilled, but that would be the sign. A sign for the end of the wearying of God, provided that we just leave the incarceration once the liberator has done all the work necessary. Many of us are like Ahaz. We don't really want to put out into the deep with God, because we don't really want to follow him on his terms. We don't want to leave the jail. Why? Because we're stubborn? Why? Because we're a little afraid? Why? Because if we really follow Jesus in the light, that's where it's going to end up. We're going to end up loving like that. We're going to end up forgiving like that. We're going to end up sacrificing like that. A lot of the times we don't want to let go. But Jesus has blown open the doors. In order for us to really experience what Christmas is, we can't remain in the same old of Ahaz. We shouldn't put conditions on God. It would have been very easy for Ahaz to say, "Just eliminate my enemies and let me keep doing things the way that I want to do them." No, God really wanted to give him something greater. And we need to be open to the greatness with which God wants to bless us this Christmas. But there's a condition placed on it. We've got to walk into that light. We see what that looks like with Mary. Mary, 14 years before this scene, had been set free preveniently by the salvific grace of her son Jesus. That's what the Immaculate Conception is all about. She was no longer bound. When the Archangel Gabriel came to her, she was still fully human. She was afraid at first. Think about your reaction if all of a sudden this chapel was filled with absolutely blinding light and you could see all the angels who are with us right now, you'd be a little bit afraid as well about what that might mean. Mary was. How can this be? The Archangel Gabriel explains to her mission. She's going to be the mother not only of the long-awaited Messiah, but the mother of the Son of God, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit overshadowing her. And her response, because she was free, was, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done to me according to your word." Because she was free, she was able confidently to ask a question about God's modality. Is this going to require my losing my virginity? So I always like to say, so that Catholics know this doctrine and can ponder this mystery of the first mystery of the Rosary, well, she would never have asked that question, "How can this be, for I know not man," unless she had already consecrated her virginity to the Lord, because otherwise she would have well known how she would have conceived a son. But because she had already consecrated herself, hence the question, "Do you want me to give up this consecration that I've given of my virginity to God in order to conceive the child?" "Whatever you want, Lord. Just tell me what you need me to do." That's real freedom. Now remember, the night after Pope Francis' election, when I was in Rome, Cardinal Francis George of Chicago, probably the brightest bishop the United States has ever had, came on to our program on EWTN, and we asked him what are his first impressions about Pope Francis. And Cardinal George, who was incredibly insightful, said, "He's a really, really free man. He's able truly to be himself. He's not going to be bound because he's attached to the Lord." That's what we see likewise in Mary. She was able to say her fiat because she was totally freed by her son. We heard in the responsorial psalm today, "Who can ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place?" And the answer of Psalm 24 is, "He whose hands are sinless, whose heart is clean, who desires not what is vain." Mary shows us that path. We're not doing sinful deeds with our hands. We're not stealing. We're not hurting. We're serving. Whose heart is clean. Even though our deeds are good, our heart is also free, so that we're not at the same time hating our brother or being jealous, etc. Who desires not what is vain, not what's passing, not what's worthless, but what's eternal. That's the path. That's what real freedom means. We have hands to serve, hearts that love, and desires that are holy. That's the great grace that the Lord wishes to give us this Advent as we prepare for the Clavis David being born and wrapped in swaddling clothes. Probably the most famous allegory of all time was written by the great philosopher Plato almost 500 years before Jesus came. It's an allegory of the cave. Those of you who have studied philosophy will know it very well because it's one of the most important books in the history of philosophy. But what Plato describes is that there's a cave and there's a big fire burning behind a whole bunch of people sitting on a row looking at a cave wall. And in front of the fire, you've got a whole bunch of people walking. You've got a whole bunch of other things happening. Because of the fire behind these people, it's casting a shadow on the wall. And people are seeing all the shadows and thinking that the shadows are reality. That when those shadows are interacting, that's what's real. But then all of a sudden, they're turned around and they see up, way up, the opening to the cave. And there's some light shining in there, at first like a dot. And then as they start to get bigger, the light begins to grow as the entrance of the cave begins to grow. And they get up and they look out into the real, real world with the sun. But then many of the people didn't believe it. And they went back to sit down and continue to watch the shadows as if the shadows were the real thing. Plato used this allegory in order to describe to us the whole progress of philosophy, that we go from the shadows into the light. But there are many people who prefer the shadows. What he said philosophically is also very true theologically. The key of the house of David, who opens and no one can shut, comes to open up ourselves so that we no longer have to sit in darkness, but that we can follow him into ever greater light. That's what the Lord has done through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Let's follow him into that light so that we might follow him all the way home to that eternal city that he has opened, where there will be no need for lamps or the sun, because the Lamb whom we're about to receive will be our light. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.